Father God, we thank you so much for this time to come into your house and worship you. God, we thank you for these children. There's no better sound in a church than the voices of little children who are crying out. And so, Father, this morning I pray that you would bless in each and every one of these kids' lives, and that you would help us as a church to be about your business and be about raising up warriors for you. God, this morning as we worship you, I pray that you would help us to focus on you, because you're the one that deserves our worship this morning. God, we thank you so much for everything you do for us in this time that we have together. I pray that you would help us to know that we are in the presence of Almighty God, and that we would leave here today changed people. In your holy name we pray. Amen. You know, before we sing this song, I'm going to read a scripture to you. It comes out of Psalm chapter 27. And this is what it says. It says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked advanced against me to devour me, it's my enemies and my foes who will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then I will be confident. One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble, he will keep me in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent and set me upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At his sacred tent, I will sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Hear my voice, David says, when I call, Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, God my Savior. Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. Teach me your way, Lord. Lead me in a straight path because of my oppressors. Do not turn me over to the desires of my foes, for false witnesses rise up against me, spouting malicious accusations." And these are the verses I want you to understand this morning. "I remain confident of this," David says. "I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord, be strong and take heart, and wait for the Lord." I love you, Lord, for your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness. So the goodness.
Lord, for the opportunity that we've had to celebrate our babies and to dedicate them to you. What a joyful thing it is, as Tyler said just a moment ago, to hear children as they go through the building and as hear babies crying, and to know that that we have a responsibility that has been given to us as a congregation. Lord, we take that responsibility seriously. We're grateful, Lord, for those that you have given to us, not just the babies, but the children and the teens. We take that responsibility very seriously. We want to see them come to know Jesus as their Savior so that they can miss so much of this world that would destroy them from the inside out. We're grateful, Lord, that we have the opportunity this morning to be a part of what you are doing in your kingdom through all the things that are going on. And we give you praise this morning for this opportunity to worship you and to praise you. We're grateful, Lord, for these that have gathered here. We know, Lord, that as we have come together in this place this morning, that there are burdens and needs. We're grateful, Lord, some are able to be with us this morning who have not been able to be here in a while because of physical needs. We ask you, God, that you would bless them today. But Lord, there are needs that are represented all throughout this congregation, needs that only you can take care of. And so, Lord, this morning we believe you and we ask you that you would do great and mighty things. Lord, we pray for other needs of our congregation, the financial needs and those who are going through difficult financial times. We ask you, God, that you would strengthen them, that you would help them, that you would supply all of their need according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. We're thankful that you can do that. But Lord, we've come to this place to hear from you this morning. We've come to this place so that your Holy Spirit might speak to us. And so, Lord, I ask you that you, through the power of your Spirit, in just a few moments, as your word is proclaimed, that you would help us, that you would speak to us, and that we might leave this place this morning different people than we were when we came in. We rejoice in all that you're going to do. We rejoice, Lord, in all that you have done. But we're believing you for great and mighty things in this service this morning, and we pray and ask for these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
As pure as gold, that where you lead me, I will go, and I'll embrace the holy plea. Each time your Spirit calls to me, and in that hour, and in that time. Blessed friend, nailed to the altar for my sin. There in my place, your son was bound. The day you laid for Isaac crown. Each sacrifice you've called. Take the ground.
I want to speak to you this morning from Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22. And we're going to read verses 1 through 13 here in just a moment. Genesis chapter 22, beginning with verse 1 and going down through verse 13. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6 from the New Living Translation says, "Direct your children into the right path, and when they are older, they will not leave it." The Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, the latter part of that verse says, "Bring them up," speaking of the children, "bring them up with the discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord." Let me ask you a question. Have you given your children back to God? Now, I didn't say, did you want to give your children back to God? That was supposed to be funnier than what it was, you know. I know at times Susie and I, you know, thought that we would give one of them at times back to God. Both of them, okay. She's more honest than I was going to be, so. But we knew that he had a return policy and we didn't have the receipt. And so therefore that was not going to work. More than likely every parent here at some point in time has thought that they would like to give them back to God. And say, you know, Lord, I'd really like my money back. It's one of those things. Some children are different. Some children are difficult. I appreciate one honest soul this morning. I'm not suggesting this morning that we return our children to God or try to get your money back. But I want to ask you this question, and I do think it's vitally important for us to look at this morning and also to look at in relation to what we've done, but in relation to what we're going to do as a church, what we are doing as a church. Have we really given our kids to God? You see, when I ask this question, the reason that I'm asking these questions is because I really think that we do need to recognize that our children are precious gifts from the Lord. They ultimately belong to Him, not to any of us. We also need to realize the ownership of our children belongs to Him. And understanding that God has given us this great responsibility to raise them. And that God has left it up to us. He's left it up to you and to me as parents to do the best that we can to raise our children, as Paul said here, in the discipline and in the instruction that comes from the Lord. These parents came this morning basically to do what we see examples of in the Bible. Hannah brought her son, a son that she had prayed for and earnestly believed God for. She brought her son to God. You read in 1 Samuel chapter 1, beginning with verse 27, "I prayed for this child, and the Lord has granted me what I ask of him, so now I give him to the Lord. For his whole life he will be given over to the Lord." And then it says that when she said that, Samuel worshiped the Lord there. Isn't that something? Joseph and Mary, the parents of our Lord Jesus, the earthly parents of our Lord Jesus, they came to the temple to present Jesus to the Lord. In Luke chapter 2, verse 22, it says, And when the days of their purification, according to the law of Moses, were finished, that would be circumcision, that they brought him, speaking of Jesus, up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. Those are wonderful, wonderful, wonderful examples of the fact that you and I as parents, we need to bring our children and give them back to God. But this morning, I want us to look at a parent who really, really surrendered his child to God. Tyler just sang about when I lay my Isaac down, so that lets you know where we're going. If you've already looked ahead in the scriptures, I was going through my introduction, you already know that we're going to look at Abraham and Isaac. Let's read that together. It says, Genesis chapter 22, verse 1, "Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to Abraham, 'Here I am,' he replied. And Then God said, take your son, your only son whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain I will show you. Early the next morning, Abraham got up and loaded his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When they had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship, and then we will come back to you. Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father, Abraham, father. Yes, my son, Abraham replied. The fire and wood are here, Isaac said, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham answered, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. And the two of them went on together, and when they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, Abraham, Abraham. Here I am, he replied. Do not lay a hand on the boy, he said. Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. And Abraham looked up. And there in a thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns, and he went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. I'm just going to be as honest with you as I can be about this passage of Scripture this morning. It has absolutely amazed me all my life. Abraham had been told that he was going to be the father of a great nation, and that this boy, this son that God had given him, was going to be the one through whom God would bring about that promise. Many of you probably saw the movie His Only Son. We did not get to see it, but what I've been told about it is that it's about this passage of Scripture. And everybody that saw it, they said, it is amazing. It made me think in different ways about what Abraham had to do. And too often we read what is here and it just becomes black and white words on a piece of paper, and we don't read it with any perception of what Abraham went through. Folks, I'm going to tell you, I don't think that Abraham just said, oh, okay, that'll be fine. I don't think that Abraham said, yeah, that's great, let's go. I don't think Sarah accepted it really well either. How do you go into your wife and say, the God who brought us to this place where we did not know where we were going is now telling me that I need to go and sacrifice our one and only son, your son? I don't think she accepted it well. I don't think the old man slept well that night. I don't think that he just laid down and in peaceful sleep went to sleep and had a real good night's rest. I think it was painful. I think it was hard. This was giving up the thing that was most precious to him. I mean, just try to put yourself in Abraham's place. Now, he had watched all the people among whom he was living sacrifice their children to their gods. He had seen them do it. But this was God. This was Jehovah. This was the one who made the covenant. But if God asked, Abraham had settled in his heart that he would do it. That amazes me. I'm not sure I could have done it. That may be too much for you to hear a pastor say. I don't know. I'm not sure I could have done it. I mean, to give up the thing that is most precious to you. I mean, when you begin to think about it all, these parents stood before this altar this morning and gave themselves and gave their children to God. But none of them were called to take that child and sacrifice it on an altar. It's one thing to stand before a congregation and say, I will bring them up in the instruction and the discipline of the Lord. It's another thing to take that child and bind that child and put it on an altar and raise your hand with a knife in it ready to kill that child. It's a completely different situation. But Abraham did it. One author said, had Abraham refused to give Isaac back to God, he would have forfeited all of God's promises and plans for Isaac. Isaac would have lived and died in obscurity, a nomad and a nobody. But because Abraham obeyed and gave Isaac back to God, Isaac received the fullness of God's best plan and promise for his life. Isaac became a wealthy man. Isaac became the forefather of God's own son, the Lord Jesus. Isaac's life still has an impact on millions and billions of people worldwide today. We got a lot to learn from Abraham. Now, I wish I could claim all of this outline as my own. I cannot, and I'm going to be honest with you about that. I found this outline about 2 weeks ago, and I want you to understand this thing has been stirring in my heart and mind for 2 weeks. Tyler came into the office on Thursday as I was sitting there with tears rolling down my cheeks. So if I cry during part of this service, it's not going to be anything new, I know. But I'm telling you, this thing has got a hold of me in a way that I can't even begin to explain to you this morning. I want you to listen and I want you to take in what God has to say. You say, my children are grown. You can still give them back to God. I don't have any children. Look at the people who are around you that do have children and do your best to help them give their children and bring up their children in the nurture and the instruction of the Lord. I want you to see four things this morning. Giving your child to God is, first of all, a confirmation of your love for God. It's a confirmation of your love for God. The first thing that you're saying when you give your children to God is, and you're saying this to the Lord, and here it is in very simple terms, that you love God more than you love that child. That's a strong statement, isn't it? We can't allow anything in our lives to take the place of God. He has to be first. He has to be foremost. And when we come, we are giving part of ourselves to God, saying to God, they are yours. They were yours from the start. They will continue to be yours. They are not mine. I love you that much, God, and I trust you that much, God, that you're going to do what you need to do. You see, more than anybody, God deserves your love. God desires your love. And the best thing that you can teach your children is to love God. To abandon themselves to God and His love and what He wants to do for them. And the only way that they're ever going to do that in their own lives is for them to see you do it in yours. That's what Abraham did. Can you imagine the lesson that Isaac learned from that situation? I mean, he learned that his dad loved God. But he also learned that God loved his dad. And that God would provide for his dad. And if God loved his dad and God would provide for his dad, then I'm sure he will love me and provide for me. I'm awestruck by the passage that reads, the fire and the wood are here, Isaac said. But where's the lamb for the burnt offering? The boy was not an idiot. I'm not trying to be ugly in saying it like that, but he was not. He knew what the people around them did with their children from time to time. He understood that he could be next. Father, here's the fire. Here's the wood. Where's the sacrifice, Dad? And And Abraham says, God will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. I love what the Hebrew writer says in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 17 through 19. Because it says there, by faith Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had embraced the promise was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. Abraham reasoned, listen to this, Abraham reasoned that God could raise him from the dead, and so in a manner of speaking, he did receive Isaac back from the dead. What a picture. I mean, that's the confirmation of Abraham's love. That's the confirmation of Abraham's faith. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10, verses 37 and 38, he said, the person who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. The person that loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whosoever does not take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. In other words, Jesus is saying we've got to lay it all down. Because we love Jesus. Because we love God. What Abraham did was a confirmation of his love for God. Giving our children back to God is a clarification of ownership, really. It's a clarification of ownership. When you give that child back to God, you are openly declaring, this child is a gift from God. This child really does not belong to me. This child belongs to God who gave him or her. We just have the privilege of raising them. I've kidded about our kids. I'm going to tell you something. I'm so proud of our girls. Kaylee was here last week. She and Michael celebrated their anniversary this past Thursday. And, you know, it was so good to see them last Sunday and to be with them. And to see what God is doing in their lives. To talk to Megan and Matt on the phone or FaceTime with those girls. And I'm going to tell you, those girls are special. But we stood a long time ago and did exactly what these parents did this morning with both of our girls. And said, God, they are yours. We had no idea what that meant. We had no idea what that meant. We had no idea where we would be, where we would go. But they've been God's ever since they got here. I mean, that had to be going through Abraham's mind when he laid Isaac on the altar. I mean, basically he was saying, Lord, this boy belongs to you and not me. You do with him as you please. Folks, I'm going to tell you, our children don't belong to us. I've said that already a couple of times. They don't belong to us. They belong to God. They are a precious gift from God. They are on loan to us, and we are stewards of them. You see, we have this idea sometimes that stewardship only involves money or it only involves property. Please understand, our stewardship involves those kids. Our stewardship as a church involves our children. Thank you for one amen. I'm going to say it again. Our stewardship as a church involves our children. And what we do with our children and what we do with our teens, you see, they have been given to us. They are on loan to us. And we have a responsibility to do what we can do to bring them up so that they can get saved and know Jesus as their Savior. You see, stewardship is a must when it comes to our kids because they're God's property. They're not ours. But not only is it a confirmation of our love for Christ, not only is it a clarification of His ownership, but it's also a commitment to raise them God's way. I'm about to step out into deep water, and I know that. I want you to listen to all I've got to say, okay? God did not authorize the state to raise our children. God did not tell us that a village was supposed to raise our children. God did not authorize daycares and schools to raise our children. Hold on. They are there to help us in the education. Many parents are homeschooling, and I understand that. But God did not say, give them to someone else to raise. Those entities may care for our children and be part of the education of our children, but God authorized, He commissioned, He gave the responsibility to moms and dads. I read at the beginning of the service, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, bring them up with the discipline and the instruction that comes from the Lord. What we did here was earlier was a part of the commitment that these parents are making to be godly parents. That means that they're going to have a relationship with Jesus. That means that they're going to have to take seriously what they say, what they do, how they act, how they react. It means that they're going to have to live in such a way that their children will have no trouble honoring them as their parents. And sometimes that's difficult. And sometimes that's taxing, but it is a commitment that we make to God when we give our children to God. What we did here earlier was also a time in which we teach children about God. The fact that we want them to come and know Jesus early in their life. Never, ever be ashamed to tell them the stories of the Bible. And let me add this, the church does have a responsibility, but you also need to understand that we as a church have them 3 hours a week at most. I knew it would get quiet right there. We have them 3 hours a week at most. That means that the responsibility of training and teaching them the Bible ultimately falls into the hands of the parents and the grandparents. Sometimes the aunts and the uncles. So important for us to realize that we make a commitment to God. I think we make a commitment to God that we're going to bring them to church. Folks, I'm going to tell you, this is one of the most important places that you're ever going to bring them. I mean, they need to know the importance of church. And if you want your children and your grandchildren to turn out right, you're going to have to train them right. In fact, really, when you go back up to Proverbs, when you go back up to Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6, the whole idea of that verse really is talking about the bending of a child. Bring up a child in the way that they should go. Bend them in the direction that they need to find. And that direction is God. You see, if you want your children, I said it a moment ago, if you want them to turn out right, you're going to have to train them right. There's no other event in your life more important than having them in church. For them to see mom and dad worship, to see mom and dad to spend some time in the church and doing what the church is calling them to do. I was raised in a parsonage family. I mean, I asked Susie, I've told you this before, I asked Susie after we were married, I said, what do normal people talk about? I mean, preacher's kids, everybody throws stones at them. I'm going to tell you the honest truth. It's one of the hardest places to be raised that you can ever imagine. I mean, the preacher's kid did it. And that's the way it goes, John. You know, the preacher's kid, it's their responsibility. Isn't that right, Jesse? You know, we got other preacher's kids in here. I am so thankful for all that God has blessed us with in the fact that both of our girls are in church and involved in their church, because I've seen so many kids who were raised in parsonages not go that direction. And I give her credit, okay? I give her credit. because I believe she did what God said in it to the Israelites in Deuteronomy chapter 11. Fix these words of mine in your hearts and in your minds. Tie them as symbols on your head, hands, and bind them to your foreheads. Teach them to your children, talking about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down, when you get up. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates, so that your days and the days of your children may be many in the land the Lord swore to give to your ancestors, as many as the days the heavens are above the earth. I like what Joshua told the children of Israel when they settled into their new homeland. He said in Joshua chapter 24, verse 14 through 15, he said, "Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your ancestors worshiped beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." You see, I want my family to turn out right. And if I want my family to turn out right, then I'm going to have to begin to lead them right. And that's the commitment that we're called to make in helping in raising our children. And finally this morning, giving our children back to God means that we are claiming God's plan and God's promise for their lives. This morning as I prayed over these children, I prayed for every one of them to find God's plan in their lives, God's purpose in their lives. Isaac inherited God's blessing and protection and promise because his dad gave him back to God. We didn't read the passage, but I'm going to read a few more verses down. Genesis 22, beginning with verse 15, the angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time and said, "I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars of the sky and as the sands of the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies. And through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me." You can disagree with me this morning if you want to be wrong. I believe that our children will be blessed by God or not blessed by God based on what you and I as parents and grandparents do. Well, that's a heavy responsibility, isn't it? You see, they have a free will. I understand that. But and maybe a preacher shouldn't say it this way, but I'm going to say it this way. They have a free will. I understand that. But you stack the odds in their favor or against their favor by the way that you live. That's as plain as I can put it. You say, "William, I don't like your preaching this morning." I don't either. That's the reason I've sat at my desk for a week and a half and cried about this message and prayed about this message. You see, as you and I obey God in our lives, they're going to see our obedience to God. And they're going to begin to go in that direction because they see that you and I receive God's best. And they're going to want that in their lives. Direct your children onto the right path. And when they're old, they'll not leave it. I know that we have some folks in here this morning, not because I'm thinking of anybody specifically right now, but some of you have children that have gone a different path. I'm going to tell you what you need to do. Just keep on praying. Keep on believing. Keep on saying what you need to say to get them back in the path that they need to be, that they know is right. Teach a child about the way that he should go, and when he's old, he'll be more apt to follow in it. She'll be more apt to follow in it. Conclusion. When we give our children back to God, It's a confirmation of our love for Christ. It's a clarification of ownership. It's a commitment to raise that child under the lordship of Jesus. And it's claiming God's best for that child. That's exactly what happened as Abraham took Isaac up Mount Moriah and laid him on that altar. I said it a moment ago, and I understand that this is heavy stuff. I understand that this is for some of us, it's heartbreaking stuff. But please understand, you're not alone in this. The only way that you're going to be able to do this is through the strength that God gives you. But church, you say, my children are grown, my children are gone, my grandchildren are grown, my grandchildren are gone, I don't care. We have wee kids, we have NAS kids, we have Sunday nights, we have Wednesday nights, we do trail life. Hopefully one of these days we're going to do American Heritage Girls. We do MOPS, which is Mothers of Preschoolers. We do all of these things to support those children and to support those parents who are raising children right now. That's the reason that we unashamedly stand on this platform and say week after week after week when we have MOPS, if you can help, they need your help. This is part of the raising of the children. This is the part of what we do. We want to bring them up in the discipline and in the instruction of the Lord. We don't just ask for people because we want to run programs. I'm telling you, folks, I'm about to give out. Amen. We all have to pick up the load and carry it for the next generation that is coming along. Our teens. Some of them are in high school and will be graduating very, very soon and going on to college. And do you realize that most Nazarene kids, they drop out in their college years? We have a responsibility to lay such a good foundation that when the world comes along and says, here's an opportunity to do something wrong, they know in their heart of hearts what they should do and they don't go that way. You see, we as a church have to confirm our supreme love for Christ. We have to clarify that God owns these children. We have to commit our church and our efforts to help these parents raise their kids under the lordship of Jesus Christ. And we have to claim God's best and His promises for these children. I'm going to tell you, I said it a moment ago, and then we're going to do one more thing and we're going to be gone. It does not take a village to raise a child. It takes godly parents and a committed church to raise a child. And God help us as a congregation to do what we can do to win these kids. And the kids who are out there that don't know Jesus, to win our kids and those kids and their parents to Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for this opportunity that we've had to look into your word. Oh God, we're not capable of doing all that we preached this morning without your strength, without your help. I pray for these parents who are sitting here today that you would bless them, that you would help them, that you would enable them to fulfill their responsibilities that you've given to them. And what an awesome responsibility it is. But God, we have a part as a local congregation to fulfill our responsibilities. We cannot fail these parents and we cannot fail these children. So God, I ask you to bless and help. I ask you to move in our hearts and lives. I ask you that you would help us to raise these children, our grandkids, in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. So that they'll get in the right path, and when they're old, they'll not depart from it. We thank you and we love you. We give you praise, honor, and glory for what you're going to do in the next few moments as we are together. In Jesus' name, amen. Tomorrow morning, well, actually this afternoon, Tyler and Brianna and Ellie are going to be heading toward Nashville. And in the morning at 5 o'clock, they have to be at the hospital. And sometime early tomorrow morning, they'll be having surgery. And we're going to ask them. I've talked to them about it. This is not a surprise. I'm going to ask them if they will to come and stand here in front of this altar. And we're going to anoint Ellie. The Bible tells us to. And we're going to anoint Ellie. As a congregation, we're going to gather around. Don't scare her when you come up. She wants her mama right now. If you don't feel comfortable coming up here, just sit there at your pew and pray. And we're going to believe God to do great and mighty things in her life, in their lives tomorrow. And we just believe God's going to do it. John, you and Karen, come. You've got Piper. If y'all haven't met John and Karen, you need to get to meet John and Karen. They're great folks. Spent a week with John in Kentucky, and he still likes me. That's an amazing thing. At least I think he still likes me. Oh, me. Ellie, this morning, we anoint you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and are believing God for His healing touch on your life. We're thankful, Lord, this morning for Tyler and Brianna and Ellie. We're thankful, Lord, the fact that they're part of our congregation, part of our church. We're thankful, God, that you brought them this way. And I pray for Ellie, even now, that you would touch her, that you would help her, that you would guide those doctors as they do what is necessary, and that you would give Tyler and Brianna your peace that passes all understanding, that you'd be with John and Karen as they are there, that you would just surround this family with your grace, with your love. And we believe the healing touch that you're going to give. God, if you chose to heal her miraculously, we're going to give you glory. But if you choose to heal her through doctors, we give you glory and honor and praise for that as well. How precious we believe children are in your sight. And so, Lord, this morning we commit her to you. We commit these parents and grandparents to you. And we are believing you to prove yourself great and strong. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Oh, man. You may be seated for just a second. You as a congregation received an email a couple of weeks ago. And they weren't included on this email. But you as a congregation received an email about doing and helping them in these next couple of weeks. And we just want you to know that we love you, that we appreciate you. God bless you. And if you guys need anything, you let us know. And we're going to do what we can do to supply it. Amen. You are precious. Did you know that? Ellie likes my watch. I have Buzz Lightyear and Woody and what's the cow girl's name? I don't know the cow girl. Anyway, she comes and plays with my watch and she likes it. Don't you? May God bless y'all. We're praying for you, believing God for you. I'm so glad you were here this morning. What a joy it has been to dedicate 5 children to the Lord today. It's the best day, baby day ever. I mean, it really is the best baby day ever. I almost messed up. That's it. If you know kids that need a place to worship, this is it. Amen. We love you, Lord, and we thank you for this time that we've had together. May you go with us, lead us, guide us, bless us, help us, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You are dismissed.